بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise him and thank him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for his nation. We finished last time talking about Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Today, inshallah, we want to talk about another Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, namely Prophet Sulaiman Solomon alayhi salam. The author, may Allah have mercy on her, said, when Prophet Dawood, David, died, the reign, the kingship, was passed to Prophet Sulaiman, and like his father, Sulaiman or Solomon was both a prophet and a king. Sulaiman alayhi salam asked Allah for a kingdom the likes of which no one would have after him. And Allah Azza wa Jal fulfilled the supplication of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He granted him what he asked. Allah bestowed upon him, upon Sulaiman, special endowments. He taught him the speech of the birds and the beasts. The plants would speak to Prophet Sulaiman and tell him about their benefits. These plants would tell Prophet Sulaiman about the benefits contained in them, in these plants. In the assembly of Prophet Sulaiman, who was also a king, there were 600 seats. Both humans and jinn would sit there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Prophet Sulaiman the ability to subjugate the devils. Although they did not become Muslim, they dutifully worked for him. These devils greatly feared Sulaiman. None of them dared to shirk the work that Solomon or Sulaiman ordered them to do. They would not dare to avoid doing what Prophet Sulaiman ordered them to do. Those devils that did disobey Sulaiman would have a great torture befall them in this life, and they knew it. This is why none of them dared to disobey him. These devils from among the jinn built high, strong buildings for Prophet Sulaiman. They built large containers. They brought jewels and pearls from the sea. And some of what we're saying are mentioned in verses in Al-Quran. We may sometimes recite those verses for you, and sometimes we may just choose not to do so. From among these verses, Allah said,
يعملون له ما يشاء من محاريب وتماثيل وجفان كالجواب وقدور الراسيات.
So this ayah has the meanings that we already expressed to you. Also, Allah endowed upon Prophet Sulaiman the endowment of getting smelted copper, means melted brass or copper, come out of the earth for him. And from that copper, magnificent things would be crafted. Allah said in Al-Quran in Surah Saba, وَأَسَلْنَا لَهُ عَيْنَ الْقِطْرِ. That is, Allah let like springs of molten brass or molten copper come out for Sulaiman to be used for different things. You know, the metals are underground and they are mixed together with the rocks, so they have to take them out of each other. So they use ovens to melt certain things, some gases come out, they use some agents, some chemical reactions, and then they, you know, purify those metals, whether it's silver or copper or zinc or anything else. But Allah made this smelted copper just come out for Sulaiman like springs.
The real flying carpet. Among what the devils made for Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam was a wide carpet-like wooden platform covered with gold and silk. This platform was big enough to carry humans, castles and other buildings, tents, supplies, horses, camels and other animals. In the middle of it was a place for Prophet Sulaiman to sit. The pious people sat on golden chairs around Prophet Sulaiman. Around them, there were silver chairs for the scholars, and then the other people and the jinn sat around the scholars.
Now, despite the vastness of Prophet Sulaiman's reign, he fought in person for the sake of spreading the religion. He was constantly battling the non-believers to spread Islam, teaching them that our Creator was the only God without any partners. Allah subjugated the wind to Sulaiman. The flying carpet carried him, taking him wherever he wanted. If he wanted to travel or fight an enemy, the carpet would be loaded with all that the army needed. And a special wind then that was designated by Allah to obey Prophet Sulaiman would come under the carpet, raising the carpet into the air. The wind would be as gentle as a breeze, carrying Prophet Sulaiman and his army to their destination. Allah said in Al-Quran, one of the ayahs, وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاصِفَةً تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا وَكُنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمِينَ. And there is another ayah speaking about the same subject, that Allah made the wind under the desire of Sulaiman. It takes him wherever he wanted. Now, if Prophet Sulaiman wanted to travel faster, then he would ask for a stronger wind, and this wind would come, and the carpet that had an amazing speed would cover what was normally took 1 month for traveling. It would take less than half a day to do so. And then they would go to a place in the morning and be back home in the afternoon. And that is mentioned in many narrations. birds. So after this carpet or this platform that's made of wood would be carried by the wind to the destination that Sulaiman wanted, then birds would fly over the Sulaiman and his army to cover them, to protect them from the rays of the heat, the rays of the sun, because it would be hot above. So they needed something to act as a protector. So these birds would just fly over the army to protect Sulaiman and his army from the harmful rays of the sun. Now, it is mentioned that Prophet Sulaiman had a city called Tadmur as the center for his kingship or his reign. And the city of Tadmur, as some of you may know, it is in Syria, in the governorate of Homs, of Homs. So it is east of Homs, in the middle of Syria. So this city of Tadmur, they call it Tadmur. They call it in English Palmyra or Palmyra. So this was the headquarters of Prophet Sulaiman. And it is cited that al-jinn, those jinn, had built this city for Prophet Sulaiman from great stones with long pillars of yellow and white marble. One morning, Prophet Sulaiman headed out from Tadmur in the direction of Istakhr. Tadmur is in Syria, Istakhr in southern Iran nowadays, in Persia. So he would go in the morning and we would arrive there. It usually takes a month to arrive there if somebody took an animal. Sulaiman would just get there by noon, and then if he wants to go somewhere else, he would also again fly on that carpet and be back somewhere else in the afternoon. So this Istakhr was one of the biggest cities of Persia at the time. It is mentioned that there is a high, very huge building there called the Masjid of Sulaiman or Solomon's Mosque. So it would usually take a month, as we said, to reach Istakhr from Tadmur, but Prophet Sulaiman reached it by noon. He rested a bit in the mosque, that building we mentioned. Then he headed from noon, he headed towards the city called Kabul or Kabul in Afghanistan. And then he would reach there by nightfall, sleep there, and then head back towards Tadmur the next morning, reaching it by noon. ولسليمان الريح غدوها شهر ورواحها شهر. This is the meaning involved in the ayah. Now, it is mentioned that those trips that Prophet Sulaiman took from Tadmur to Istakhr, then to Kabul or Kabul, back to Istakhr and back to Tadmur and so on, that those were recorded by some of the companions, one of the companions of Prophet Sulaiman on some type of board near the Tigris River, Nahr Dijla. And in that house that where the board was found, on it was written, this companion could be a jinni or could be a human. He said, we stayed in this house. We did not build it, rather it was already built. We reached Istakhr at noon, and the next day we returned to Asham, means to Tadmur. Now there was another story narrated about Prophet Sulaiman. Some of the scholars mentioned this story in their book. They said that while Prophet Sulaiman was riding this carpet, this flying carpet, which was, as we said, a big platform that was built by the jinn for him, Prophet Sulaiman would sit in the center on a high type of minbar or throne, and then he will be surrounded by the very highly righteous people, then scholars, and then the other people in circles on that large platform. So while he was riding this carpet, he passed over a farmer who was plowing his land. The man looked towards Sulaiman and he made a comment. He said, David's family, the family of Dawood, has been given a great kingdom. He said, David's family, or Dawood's family, has been given a great kingdom. He was marveling at what he saw, and he made that comment. The wind carried the words of this man to the ears of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Sulaiman landed and walked over to the man, and he told him the following. I heard what you said, and I came to warn you not to wish for that which you cannot obtain. I heard what you said, and I came to warn you not to wish for that which you cannot get, which you cannot obtain. One tasbiha, one praise of God that Allah accepts from you is better than the entire world and what is in it. One tasbiha accepted by Allah from you is better for you than the whole world and what it contains. It means, and what Sulaiman meant is, you don't have my lineage. My father was Dawood, who was a prophet and a king. You don't have such a lineage. So do not busy yourself trying to get something you don't have. And what you should do instead is strive to become a better person by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of this advice, this farmer joyfully responded to Sulaiman's advice. He said, may Allah ease your worries like you have eased mine. May Allah ease your worries like you have eased mine. He felt that Sulaiman took something off his chest that was bothering him. Now he feels tranquility. Now, it is narrated out of the generosity of Prophet Sulaiman that he used on a daily basis, slaughtered 100,000 lambs, sheep, and 30,000 cows, and offered that food to the people. But he himself, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, would eat the poorest people's bread. He would eat just barley bread and drink sour milk, despite all that wealth that he was given by Allah to him. He was eating the simplest bread and the simplest drink. He would just drink sour milk. Because Prophet Sulaiman was not concerned, or what will I eat today, what I will wear today. He was not concerned about these matters. If he wore fancy clothes sometimes, it was done for a religious benefit, not for the purpose of, you know, living luxuriously. And it's known that righteous people sometimes take care of their appearance, their clothing, the way they appear, they present themselves to people, because they know the human nature, that when you want to meet with some people and they are well-dressed, they look nice, then they will be more attracted to you, and then whatever you say, they listen to you. If you just seem like undressed, not, you know, your hair is not combed, you're wearing, you know, clothes that are simple clothes, they may not be attracted to you. They may even get away from you. And that, of course, for a person who works in da'wah of inviting people to the religion is not it will impede such a work. So that's why sometimes those righteous people, whether they are the prophets or the scholars of Islam, they sometimes take care of their appearance. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام stated in a hadith, رُبَّ أَشْعَثَرَ أَغْبَرْ ذِي طِمْرَيْن مَدْفُوعٌ بِالْأَبْوَابِ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهِ. And in this hadith he said, the Prophet, that some people could be, you know, their hair is uncombed, their clothes are dusty, they're wearing two pieces of clothing, and people, if they were to approach them, they would just get repelled from them, or they would reject having them around. Such people would, if they asked Allah for something, if they made supplication, Allah would fulfill their supplication. Because despite those appearances, they have a high religious status set for them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith is narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Ahmad, plus other scholars of hadith. So appearances are not the only reason to set the status of people. Okay, you should not based on appearances only judge people, degrade them, or otherwise. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in a hadith said, "Laysa al-ghina an kathrati al-arad, innama al-ghina ghina an-nafs." And in another hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Innama al-ghina ghina al-qalb wal-faqru faqru al-qalb." And these two hadith combined, they mean that the true richness is not in having a lot of luxuries or money. The true richness is the richness of the heart, to be pious, God-fearing. And this hadith, these two hadith are narrated by Imam Al-Bukhari and Muslim and Al-Imam Al-Hakim, rahimahumullah. The author said, the story of Prophet Sulaiman or Solomon and Lady Bilqis. Once Sulaiman alayhi salam was walking with others in a certain location. He needed water. So he asked for his bird, the hoopoe, al-hudhud in Arabic. So this bird usually used to travel with Prophet Sulaiman because it had the ability to get to see the water underground, underneath the soil. It means it can detect or sense the underground water. Ibn Abbas one time said that while this hoopoe is above the earth, it sees the water underground. When he said that, somebody said, well, if it can see the water underground, how come that it doesn't see the net that the hunter, you know, prepares for it and catches it with it? So if it sees underground, why doesn't it see the overground, you know, trap for itself? So Ibn Abbas said, once destiny comes, the sight is blocked. إِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَدَرُ عَمِيَ الْبَصَرُ. If Allah had willed for someone or something to be caught, then the sight is blocked by the will of Allah. إِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَدَرُ عَمِيَ الْبَصَرُ. So it means whatever Allah has willed to happen shall happen, no matter how cautious and careful the creature is. So when Sulaiman did not find water, could not find water, he needed the, of course, help, the service of this bird, the hoopoe, the hudhud. He said, where is the hudhud? مَا لِي لَا أَرَى مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدَ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ, as mentioned in Al-Quran. So he said, I shall torture or slaughter that bird, as in the meaning of the ayah. So he said, I shall torture or slaughter this bird unless it gives me a legitimate excuse as to why it is not here with us. So you could see the statement of Prophet Sulaiman is qualified. It means this bird, if it was absent without an excuse, it deserves to be punished by me. I will punish it. But if it has an excuse, then it will be safe of this punishment. So what happened is that this bird, this hoopoe, had passed by the palace of a woman called Bilqis. She was the queen of an area in Al-Yemen, Saba'. This Saba' was a man who was a king, and then this man was a descendant of Qahtan, and all the Arabs of Yemen, you know, come from Qahtan. So Bilqis was the queen of that area in Al-Yemen. So he saw this bird, an orchard behind the palace of this woman. So it flew, and the bird, the hoopoe, heard the news that Bilqis was the queen with a grand reign, means her kingship or her area was very vast. He also heard that she and her people were prostrating to the sun. They were worshiping the sun, which of course is blasphemy. So when he got this news, when it got the news, the hoopoe flew back, and Solomon or Sulaiman alayhi salam asked it where it was. And the hoopoe said, I learned that, so the bird was addressing Prophet Sulaiman, I learned that which you did not know. Means I have some news of things that you don't know. I brought you true news from Yemen, from Saba'. Then the hoopoe told Prophet Sulaiman the story of Bilqis and her people. And all of these things, you know, most of what I'm saying are mentioned in Al-Quran. So as I said, I don't always mention the ayah. So Sulaiman said, I will check if you are truthful in your claim. Prophet Sulaiman told the bird, we will check whether you're telling the truth or not. And there are two verses in Surah An-Naml in which Sulaiman wrote a letter and ordered the bird to carry it and throw it into the lap of this woman, Bilqis. And when Bilqis received, of course, it saw the bird, she was, you know, surprised to see a bird carrying a message specifically to her. So in the message, as mentioned in Al-Quran, قالت يا أيها الملأ يا أيها الملأ إني ألقي إلي كتاب كريم. And the verse says that she addressed her people, advisors, that I have received an honorable message or letter. إنه من سليمان وإنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا تعلوا علي وأتوني مسلمين. So the meaning of this verse is that the letter of Sulaiman addressed to Bilqis started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that I start my message with the name of Allah, the one who is merciful to the believers and non-believers in this life, and the one who is merciful only to the believers in the other life. And it says, this is from Sulaiman, means Sulaiman is writing you this letter. Do not disobey me, Alla ta'adu alay, wa'tuni muslimin, and come to me as Muslims. So Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam acted immediately when he heard that there were such people who were not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He immediately, of course, invited them to Islam, of course, through their queen, as we said. So when she got this message, she gathered her, you know, the leaders of her area to consult with them. They told her, "We are a people with great strength and power. It is up to you, our queen. You decide what you want, we will do what you order." So Bilqis said that she would subject Sulaiman alayhi salam to a test by sending him a gift. She said if Solomon accepted the gift, then she would know that he was a man who was attached to worldly power and was not as he said. It means the message seems to be spiritual, seems to inviting them to a religion, to Islam. So if this person was true about it, I'm going to send him a gift. If he accepts it, means he is not truthful about his message. He's not, doesn't want the message. He wants the world. If he did not accept it, she said, then she would know that he was a person to dedicated to God. So when the gift arrived to Sulaiman, people came and Sulaiman looked at them and he said, "Are you giving me money? God gave me better than what he gave you." It means God gave you certain things and God gave me certain things. What he gave me is much better than what he gave you. You are the ones who are delighted about receiving gifts from one another. I did not request a gift from you. Rather, I demanded that you become Muslim. Then Prophet Sulaiman sent the gift back with the messenger and told the messenger to tell his queen Bilqis, "If you do not comply, you will meet a great army, the likes of which you have never faced before. You will be unable to defeat or block the army of Sulaiman. We shall drive you out of your city." So this was the message of Sulaiman back to Bilqis. When the messenger returned the gift to Bilqis and gave her the message that Sulaiman made him carry, she said, "This is a man we cannot handle." So she gathered the heads of her people and there they traveled to from Al-Yaman to Ash-Sham to meet with Prophet Sulaiman. When she had really arrived, nearly arrived, means she was close to Sulaiman's place, Prophet Sulaiman told these people with him, means the humans and the jinn, "Who will bring me the throne of Bilqis?" So he was talking to his own assembly. So he asked them, "Who will among you bring me the throne of Bilqis?" Means from Al-Yaman to Ash-Sham. Ash-Sham is, you know, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Palestine. All of this area is called Ash-Sham. The headquarters of Sulaiman was in Tadmur in Syria, but he would be in Palestine and different places. So Prophet Sulaiman wanted her throne brought to him to prove to her that he was a prophet of Allah. So there was a leader of the jinn, you know, present. قال عفريت من الجن أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك, as mentioned in Al-Quran. So one of these jinn said, "I can bring you the throne before you break for lunch." Prophet Sulaiman said, "I want it quicker than that. I want it sooner than what you're saying." So there was a righteous human there. His name was Asaf ibn Barkhiya, and he was an assistant of Prophet Sulaiman. He told him, "I can bring it to you. I can bring the throne of Bilqis quicker than it takes you to look at far objects and put your, you know, eyes down, means before you blink. That's how quick I can bring it to you." قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. That's what is mentioned in Al-Quran. So Sulaiman As soon as he finished what he Asaph finished what he said, that I can bring it to you before even you blink, the throne of Bilqis was in front of him, was there. And of course, Sulaiman alayhi salam saw this wonderful thing happen in front of his eye, that this large, huge throne of Bilqis, which was 120 feet long and 60 feet wide and was covered with jewels, all this huge structure came to him in a twink, as they say. He was very happy to see it and he wanted to thank Allah. He said, this is a test from Allah, and to test my, whether I'll be grateful or not. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. And of course, Prophet Sulaiman was among the grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this queen was smart and powerful. However, she was of course misguided, because she and her people were worshipping other than Allah. And usually when people are in power, they rarely listen to other people telling him anything, because they are in power. If they want something to happen, they use their strength to make it happen. So if somebody talked to them, many times they don't listen to reason. But Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam was brilliant, and he wanted to overwhelm Bilqis, this queen, to make her go onto the straight path, to lead her to the correct belief. So when she arrived, Prophet Sulaiman showed her her throne and asked her, هَكَذَا عَرْشُكْ, is this, does it look like your throne? She said, كَأَنَّهُ هُ, all of these are in Al-Quran. She said, it looks like it's mine. And then he told her, it's really yours. This is your throne as is. The fact that you locked it somewhere behind, you know, doors did not benefit you. It means I was, by the will of Allah, able to take it out from, you know, your safe place and be there, be here, you know, in front of your eyes. So he wanted to let her know that despite the power that she claims to have, there are more, he was more powerful than she was, and this is going to be because Allah helped him, Allah made it available for him. He wanted her to start thinking in those, along those lines, to make her a Muslim. And Prophet Sulaiman ordered the devils, you know, beyond this, bringing the throne to him, he did another thing. He ordered the devils to build a very grand structure out of glass, just glass. And the structure was flat, and under it, it held water. And in the water, there were fish swimming, and of course, other things. Just the same thing that a person would see under the sea. So some people from, you know, in the palace of King Sulaiman or Prophet Sulaiman told Bilqis to pass by, to get from the area, to pass by this glass floor under which there was water, in which those marine animals were swimming, the fish otherwise. So when she, of course, Sulaiman was at the other end of the place. So when she passed, and then she, the glass was so transparent, she thought that she's stepping into water, because she saw, you know, swimming fish and so on. So what she did, she tucked her clothes up so that they don't get wet. And Prophet Sulaiman, when he saw this, he turned his face away so that he doesn't see her leg. And then he told her that this is made of glass. This is not water. You thought that it was water because it was very clear and very well built. So he said, this is made out of smooth glass. Do not fear, means you're not gonna get wet or drown. You can step on it. You can step on it. So Bilqis was seeing all these great you know, signs the great kingship of Sulaiman, she noticed that Sulaiman is much, much more powerful than other people she knew, including herself. So she recognized that the Creator had bestowed all of this on Sulaiman. At that moment, she was guided to know that God did not accept her former deeds. So she said, "O my Lord, I have done myself injustice by worshipping other than you. Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. I have become a Muslim following Solomon, worshipping the Lord of the worlds." She said that, وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, as mentioned in Al-Quran. So it means I become Muslim following the rules of Sulaiman, the religion of Sulaiman. As we said, her story is cited in Al-Quran and also in the Hadith. Some narrators claim that Sulaiman married this Bilqis later, but these narrations are not confirmed. Others claim that Prophet Sulaiman told her to marry a king of Yemen, and also such narrations need to be confirmed. Allah knows best which narrations are correct. Of course, there are other false narrations about the relation between Sulaiman and Bilqis that we don't have to worry about. Okay, we mentioned at the beginning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the devils, the non-Muslim, jinnis, under the control of Prophet Sulaiman. So these devils who were jinn, who were not Muslim, were under the control of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Whatever he ordered them to do, they would do. They were very afraid to disobey him. So when we said his devils, referring to Sulaiman, we mean the devils who worked for him. Okay, let's inshallah end this class with one more story about Prophet Sulaiman, and next time we continue inshallah to say more about this great prophet. The author said, Prophet Solomon and the Angel of Death. Once in the session of Prophet Sulaiman, the Angel of Death, Azrael, was visiting. You know from your Islamic, you know, knowledge that Allah created different types of creation. He created mountains, the sky, the earth. Those are creations that are not living creations. But Allah also created living creations, creations that have bodies and souls, and they have the ability to think. They have the faculty of thinking. And those are three kinds: humans, jinn, and angels. Angels are neither males or females. They were all created all at once, means their number did not decrease or increase since the time they were killed, you know, were created by Allah. So they were all created all at once. The jinn, some of them are males and some of them are females. And some of these jinn are believers, Muslims. Some of them are pious, some of them are non-pious. And some of the jinn are non-Muslims. So those non-Muslim jinn we call the devils. The leader was Satan or Iblis, the one who refused to prostrate to Adam upon the orders of Allah out of salutation and showing respect to Adam. He refused to do that and he objected to Allah's order. And the humans also are males and females. They multiply. Some of them die and then some of them are born and so on. And some of the humans are Muslims and some of the humans are non-Muslims. Going back to the angels, The angels never disobey Allah. All of them are Muslim. All of them are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have different tasks. For example, the best angel of all is Angel Jibreel. And he is in charge of revelation. He is sent to prophets with the revelation. And one of the angels is called Azrael. He is called the angel of death, Malakul Maut. It means he is the angel who is in charge of taking the souls of these humans and jinn out of their bodies, because Allah willed for such humans and jinn to die at a certain moment. So they die by their soul leaving their bodies. And the soul is taken out by angel Azrael. That's why he is called the angel of death. All the angels are honorable creations of Allah. They are obedient to Allah. And the angel of Azrael does not scare the pious Muslim. The non-believers are scared when they see Azrael. And he, when he takes their soul, he pulls it out and they feel the pain. As for the pious Muslims, the soul is taken out gently and they don't suffer when the soul leaves their body. So this angel of death, Azrael alayhi salam, was visiting, and although at the time it was not the time for Sulaiman to die, he was there and he was looking a great deal at a certain man who was sitting in the assembly, in that session with Sulaiman. This man knew somehow that Azrael was looking at him, like targeting him. He's looking always at him. So he was afraid to think about death. So he asked, after Azrael left, he asked Prophet Sulaiman that he would be carried to India, the land of India. So Sayyidina Sulaiman, you know, honored the request of this man, and then he was carried to the land of India, away from the area of Asham. Then later, Azrael came back to Prophet Sulaiman, and Prophet Sulaiman asked Azrael, why were you looking at that man who was in my session? So he said, I saw that man with you in Asham, and I was ordered to take his soul out in India. So I was wondering, he's in Asham, and I'm supposed to take his soul out in India. So I was wondering how he's going to make it there. So he made the request to go to India, and he reached there quickly at the right moment as per Allah's will. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Barakallahu.